here with you this morning. Appreciate song service and prayer that's been offered up, and I ask that you pray for us what time we stand before you this morning as we endeavor to look into the Lord's Word. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. Oh, and I would like to thank Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there this morning. We certainly recognize the importance of the father and the family, and what a blessing a family has with good fathers in them. And I'm thankful to tell you, as a part of the Lord's family, our Heavenly Father is certainly one that we ought to recognize today and every day, how wonderful a father we all have. As that song we sang this morning, "This is my Father's world. This is our Father's church. And all that we have belongs to Him." So Psalm 37 is an outstanding psalm. I wish we could look at all of it this morning, but we don't have time to do that. I encourage you to look at it at home. But I'd like to look at one verse and maybe a couple of others, and that's verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. It says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." This psalm is written by David, and it's written at a time when I believe that he is in great trouble. If you read a study of the life of David, he was anointed king long before he ever reigned. He was anointed king as a boy before he even killed Goliath. And but yet he lived as a rebel, an outcast of Israel, for many, many years prior to the time that he started reigning. And he begins this psalm, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Sometimes we worry and fret about those who are doing wrong to us or in just in general. And that causes great worry and concern. But the verse that we've read to you in verse 5, he says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." Commit thy way unto the Lord. What does that mean? Well, you know, you have a way and I have a way. We all have a path, a journey, a course of life that we must run. And it's important that we commit that journey to the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit back idle and don't do anything, let the Lord do everything. But that means that we look to the Lord for whatever direction our life may take us. And we seek to honor and glorify the Lord for whatever way that we go. This word "commit" carries with it the idea of entrusting or placing confidence in. And commitment is something that is lacking in today's world. People are not committed to things in life like they once were. People aren't committed to their marriages. People aren't committed to their families. People aren't committed to maybe even their job or different things that they ought to be. Honoring commitments is a worthy thing that we all should endeavor to do. But I'm going to tell you one who does honor his commitments, and that's the Lord. If the Lord has committed himself to you, if he's made a promise to you, I'm going to tell you, you can count on that being the case. Notice he says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him." Our trust belongs in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in our money, not in, you know, a person, not in any human flesh. Our trust belongs in the Lord. We just need to commit our way unto the Lord. If you'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 16, he says something very similar here in the 16th chapter of Proverbs. In Proverbs 16, it says in verse 3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Now here he says, commit, this is very similar language, but he says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord." Whatever you do, commit it to the Lord. He says, and by doing so, your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts. You know, some of the greatest trouble that I find myself in is in my thoughts. My thoughts cause me to worry. My thoughts cause me to get upset. But what a blessing when your thoughts are flooded with blessed assurance. You know that song we sing, Blessed Assurance. The Lord is able to take control of your thoughts and establish them and found them in the doctrines that we believe and found them upon the truth of God's word so that the things of this world don't bother you, that they don't get to you they possibly could. In fact, if you go to Isaiah chapter 26, I want to notice what he says here that's very, very similar, but it involves this trust that we were talking about earlier. Isaiah 26. This is a verse that when I discovered this a few years ago, I've just been rejoicing in this ever since I've found this verse. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Now notice he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Now, I don't know about you, but I like peace. I'm not really one that likes conflict. And what I see going on over there in Ukraine, it just sends chills up my spine. That it just seems senseless. What's the point of all that? And yet, all those people are suffering as a result of the absence of peace. You know, there's a lot of wars that could be avoided. I remember when I was in the Air Force, there was this quote that we had to learn. We're especially supposed to remember who said it. I actually can't remember who said it now, but he said, "Every soldier worth his salt should be anti-war." Every soldier worth his salt should be anti-war, yet still there are things worth fighting for. And so I believe that we as soldiers in the Lord's army, we should be anti-war. We should try to seek peace, make peace. But I'm going to tell you the best way for you to be kept in perfect peace is when your mind is stayed on the Lord. That's all that your mind is focused on is on the Lord. All the rest of the things that transpire and happen. Now, that song we sang about faith of our fathers. They're in prison, in dungeons. And yet, the faith that they had was still free. There was no binding the faith that they had inside of them. There was still freedom there, even though physically they were in chains and in prison. I'm going to tell you, the Lord is able to keep you in perfect peace despite your life circumstances. Whatever health problems or whatever problems might come your way, the Lord can keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Him. You know, I think about that time Peter in Matthew chapter 14, who walked on the water with the Lord. Can you imagine doing that? Walking on water with the Lord? But what's interesting about that account that we may not mention as much is he was not walking on water that was like glass. It was so clear and smooth. He wasn't walking on that kind of water. He was on, if you go out to the ocean and see the white caps of the waves, he was walking on water like that, where there was winds and waves, and everything was fine when his eyes were on the Lord. But when he started to notice the winds and the waves, he started to sink. Now I'm going to tell you, when it comes to you and I, we can do some amazing things when our mind is fixed on the Lord. But as soon as we start getting distracted, then we start looking around. That's when we start to fall. You know, I believe that's what happened during the pandemic these past couple of years. A lot of people took their mind off the Lord and they started to fall. They started to get distracted with the events of this world. But I'm going to tell you, the perfect peace is found when your mind is stayed on the Lord. Why? Because you trust in Him. Trust in Him. Our trust, our confidence should not be in ourselves. Our trust should be in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord, he says forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Our strength does not come from ourselves, it comes from the Lord. That's the source of our strength. We ought to, as he says in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where our strength is. Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. And he said he learned by that experience when the Lord did not answer his prayer to remove that thorn in the flesh. He learned that when he is weak, that's when he's strong. When he is in infirmity, when he is in sickness, the power of Christ rests upon him when that happens. In the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. The same strength that our parents had and our grandparents had, that same strength is with us today. We should never forget that. We should never forget that the same strength that we look up to our parents in the previous generation, how strong they were in the faith and in the things of God. I'm telling you, that strength is still here today. It's still here. We just need to put our trust in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about this commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, when he writes this book, 2 Timothy, that's one of the last books the Apostle Paul ever wrote. And Timothy was really upset. In fact, he says at the beginning of this chapter that he's mindful of Timothy's tears. I appreciate Brother Joe asking for prayers on my behalf. And I ask that you pray for all the ministers preaching the gospel, it's an extra burden on a man that not everyone experiences. And I think about that text in 2 Corinthians 11 where Apostle Paul talks about all the troubles that came his way. And at the end he says, "And that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Every day, the Apostle Paul says, the care of all the churches was on his mind. And here, Timothy, as a young minister, is dealing with this, struggling, crying, in difficult circumstances. And the Apostle Paul, in this 2 Timothy chapter 1, begins to write some of the most powerful doctrinal verses you'll find anywhere. That tells me, in our time of sorrow and affliction, we need to turn back to the truth of God's Word and the doctrines that we believe. Because if you want to have your thoughts established, if you want to find that peace, you'll not find it in the works of men. You'll not find it in your own works, but you'll find it in the Lord's works and what the Lord has done for you and I. And what we'll find when we study that is just like that song we just sang, God will take care of you. He already has. You have a home in heaven waiting for you when you leave this place, because he's already done it. He's already prepared the way. He's already redeemed us from our sins. We already have that because God cares about us. Oh, what a blessing to have to think about this morning. In fact, if I was the devil, if I was him, I would not try to convince people that God doesn't exist. That is foolish. That's silly. But what I would try to convince people is that God doesn't care about you. Discourage people by that. But I'm here to tell you the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't show that. The Bible teaches that God cares about us. And Paul told Timothy all these things. And he says in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Paul says, I'm suffering too, Timothy. He says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know, this is why he's not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That language should be very familiar to us, because we have a song that word for word quotes that verse. My brother and I, when we were younger and we would read the Bible through, when we got to this verse, we'd always get excited because we loved reading the exact words that we sang a song that had the exact words in it. Paul says, I suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. Why? Because I know whom I believe it. Who does he believe? He believes Jesus. He says, and I'm persuaded that he, Jesus, is able to keep that which I have, notice this, committed unto him against that day. He says, I've committed these things to Jesus. Notice, if you go back to Psalm 37, Proverbs 16, he says, commit thy way, commit thy works unto the Lord. Apostle Paul, he was laboring, establishing churches, preaching the gospel. And he says, I planted, Apollos watered, God giveth the increase. He was doing all these things. But you know, let me ask you something. Those of you who plant gardens, I'm sure you've never done this. But let's just say you plant a garden, and then you leave, and someone else is supposed to tend to it while you're gone. Now, you know, if you do that, you're committing that garden into someone else's hand. You're committing the work and the fruit and all that to somebody else. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul did. He would go and he'd establish a church, be there a year or two, and then he was gone. He left it with someone else, but really he left it in the Lord's hands. All the work that he did, he committed to the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you all the work that we do. All the things that we go about doing, we should entrust it in the Lord's hands, even to our very life. In fact, if you turn me to 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter says this very same thing in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. If you read this whole chapter, you'll recognize that he's describing someone suffering like Christ. I appreciate what Brother Joe said about us being Christ-like, and we should. That's where the name Christian comes from. People who are living and acting like Christ. But if you do that, you can expect one thing because Jesus promised it, and that's suffering. You will suffer if you act like Christ because this world is no friend to the child of grace. But he says if you be reproached for the name of Christ, you should be happy. And let me skip on down. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come. Let's skip down to verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Now we're getting to talking about down to who we are. Who is going to take care of us? Who's going to take care of our very soul? Notice he says that we that suffer, here in verse 19, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of your soul to the Lord as unto a faithful creator. If you really believe that God will take care of you, then you go and do the will of God. Do what he tells you to do and let the chips fall where they may. And leave results in the Lord's hand. I remember that time in Exodus chapter 6, I believe. Moses went because the Lord sent him back to Egypt. And he spoke to Pharaoh. And he said, God said, let my people go. And he said many other things. But Pharaoh says, wait a minute. If you're even coming to me telling me all this, that means y'all are idle. You got too much time on your hands. So I'm going to stop giving you straw for your bricks. You need to go find the straw yourself. And you need to make the same number of bricks you've always made. Well, when news of that came back to Israel, Moses not only had Pharaoh and all of Egypt mad at him, he had all of Israel mad at him. And Moses goes to the Lord and says, why did you send me? I haven't made anything better. I made it worse by even going. Well, I'll tell you, there are times where you may be doing what you believe the Lord has sent you to do, and you may say, I've made it worse. I hadn't made it better. But you know, results are not up to us. Results are up to the Lord. Leave the results in the Lord's hand. You just do what he says to do and do what he tells you to do. Results and keeping that garden, as we mentioned earlier, that's up to you. And in fact, if you'd back up with me to chapter 2, I want you to see what Jesus did. He's our ultimate example. And notice what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says in verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus was accused. He was mistreated. He was reviled. Yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't say anything. But what did he do? He committed, that word commit just keeps coming up. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He didn't commit himself to others. Now I want you to stop and think. We've made the example of Moses. Look at the example of Christ. To the outside observer, and even to the disciples themselves, when Jesus died on that cross, they thought it was a failure. We've lost. He's dead. It's a failure, right? You know, we got to leave results in the Lord's hand. The Lord's church, for a little while, for a few days, was downcast, discouraged, while Jesus' body was in the tomb, thinking, it's a failure. All that we believed, all that he said, is just a failure. We quit. We're through. It's over. But I'm going to tell you, you can't judge according to the appearance. Jesus committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now notice verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now notice, does that sound like a failure? That was not a failure. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree that we should live. We now have life. We may not understand the things in the moment, but we can see the Lord's work involved in the things that transpires. There's always more than meets the eye. It's always something beyond what we can physically see. We were as sheep going astray, but now we've returned to the shepherd and bishop of what? Our souls. And so therefore, 1 Peter 4:19, commit the keeping of your souls unto him as unto a faithful creator. I think about that time when Jesus died there on the cross. He laid down his life for us and he said these words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I'd like to get returned to our text in Psalm 37. Because it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust that we see what all is involved with that. Whatever we do, whatever our works are, commit it to the Lord. Give it into the Lord's hand. He says, trust also in him. Trust also in him. And then he says, and he shall bring it to pass. Now my question is, bring what to pass? He shall bring it to pass. It. What is it in this verse? Well, your way is different from my way. And whatever way or work you're in, I believe he can bring to pass that. But I also believe he brings to pass all the things that he's promised us. Now, I believe if we just check a few places where it tells us to trust in the Lord, it'll also attach a promise to it. Now, we've already seen one in Isaiah 26 where he says, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because we trust in him. That's a promise that he will keep you in perfect peace. He will bring that to pass because you trust in him and your mind is stayed on him. But back up to verse 3, Psalm 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's a promise that if you trust in the Lord and do good, just those two things, you'll dwell in the land and you'll be fed. You know, Brother Joe mentioned the blessings that we have. One of the blessings that we take for granted is food. Having food to eat. Not everybody has had that blessing. And, you know, when famines would come through the land and there was no food to eat, people struggled for a while. I remember when Brother Sam Bryant and others would bring those preachers, Primitive Baptist preachers from Africa, back down there, they only ate one meal a day. And they'd come over here and they'd eat with us and They gain weight and think, man, we ain't never ate this much food. How do y'all eat like this every single day? They were gaining weight. Well, that's a blessing from the Lord that we should never take for granted. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, he tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things the Lord shall add to us. Clothing, food, all the things we stand in need of, God adds these things to us. This is the blessing that we receive in the promise of trusting in the Lord and doing good. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 3. I want to notice something else that I believe the Lord brings to pass when we commit our way to the Lord and when we trust in Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, I believe that verse is, you know, people talk about God's word is hard to understand. I don't believe what we just read is hard to understand, but I believe it's really hard to apply to our life. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, your entire heart, and to not lean on your own understanding. We always have a reason not to do it the Lord's way, don't we? We can always come up with a reason. Well, this might happen or that might happen, or if we do this, then that would happen. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's ways are not our ways. The Lord's ways involve the power of God's strength that we cannot see, but it's there. I think about that time in 2 Kings chapter 6 when this whole army came to get one man, Elisha. He woke up that morning. I want you to imagine waking up in the morning and your house is surrounded by an army come to get you. Whole army. That's what happened in 2 Kings 6. He woke up, his servant went out to fetch water, and he saw all of them. He says, Master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And you know what Elisha said? 2 Kings 6:16, you can go and look in. He said, fear not, for there are more with us than there are with them. There's more with us than there are. He saw an army coming to get him, and he said, don't be afraid. If you trust in the Lord, your mind is stayed on the Lord, that's that perfect peace that Elisha was demonstrating there. He was not afraid. Why? There was more with us than our. And you know what he did? He prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord heard that prayer, opened his eyes, and he saw the mountain was full of chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'm going to tell you, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. That's the God that we serve. There is always more with you than there are with them. You may say, well, there's just so very few, you know, wanting to do right. You know, trust me, we like to have the company and the fellowship of people that are doing right. Absolutely. But that is always the right answer. There's more with you than there are with them. There always is. The Lord is on your side. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Don't believe everything you see, everything you hear. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and what His Word says and the promise of these promises. Now notice verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now that's committing your ways to the Lord. In all your ways acknowledge Him. You know, I've kind of gotten that way when I go to work. Sometimes I'm able to figure some things out that I didn't know the answer to. I give the Lord credit for that. If I'm able to do anything in this life, I've come to realize it's really not my own ability. It's the Lord that deserves the glory and the credit. It's the Lord who deserves it because either He gave me the gift to be able to see it or He gave me the insight on that occasion. Whatever the case may be, the Lord deserves the glory and honor. If you find anything that is a blessing in your life, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And notice, here's the promise. And He shall direct thy paths. You want direction? You want guidance from the Lord? Do these three things. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You do those three things and you'll find direction. You'll find guidance from the Lord Himself in whatever case may be that you stand in need of. You know, There's many other places. We'll just turn to a couple before we don't want to. There's just too much in this, because if you go and study, I'll turn to Proverbs 30. If you go to study, trusting in the Lord, which we should not only study that, but we should implement that in our life, that our trust is in the Lord, not in any person, ourself, our money, or anything else. Our trust should be in the Lord. But if you study this in the Bible, you'll find that the people who trust the Lord, those are the people who are blessed. Those are the people who have promises waiting for them. You know, it's like having something waiting for you. You just, the Lord promised it would be there. You just have to go and get it the way He said to go and get it. I think about Jeremiah 17, verse 7. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Blessed is the man. It's a blessed man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope, his expectation for the future is really, it's the Lord. That's a blessed man. Proverbs 30, notice what he says in verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Oh, man. Now, I can't say that about my words. I can't say that about every other person's words. But I'm going to tell you, every word of God is pure. I hope that we realize what a blessing we have. Here's another blessing account, that we have the Bible. You know, it tells us in Psalms 12 that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth 7 times. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord, and preserve them from this generation forever. The Lord's words are pure words. There's nothing corrupt about them. Every word of God is pure. Then it says, He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. That sounds like protection, doesn't it? God is a shield to everyone who puts their trust in Him. You think about 1 Samuel 17. David fights Goliath. Goliath has a shield. He has a sword, has a spear, has all this armor on. And David has none of that. He didn't have any armor. He doesn't have a shield. But I'm going to tell you, he had a shield. He had the Lord as his shield. David went in and put his trust in the Lord. He had the Lord as his shield. That's better than any shield that you could ever manufacture. The Lord is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Like Elisha, there he is surrounded by that army. Did he need to say, well, let me go find a gun or a bow and arrow or something so I can go to fighting? No. He had his trust in the Lord. And there are so many times when the armies of Israel never even had to fight because the Lord fought the battle for them. You know, Elisha's message to his servant was, fear not. Don't be afraid. And that expression, fear not, or to not be afraid, is in the Bible so often. It tells us, someone told me it was over 365 times that expression is in the Bible. As if to say, every single day we need to say that again, fear not. Don't be afraid. Well, Psalm 56:11 says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. If our trust is in the Lord, then we won't have to be afraid of anything that man can do in us. Now, I'll back up to Proverbs 29. And I'll notice this verse and then we'll close. Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, a snare is a trap. It is something that, Brother Hunter, when he was trapping coyotes, he'd have these traps that they would come over the coyote's leg so he couldn't get away. I just want you to know, I'm not trying to scare you, there's someone setting traps out there for you. It's the devil. Our real enemy is the devil. The devil is trying to trap us. You remember when Jesus was in this world, it says they tried to entangle him in his talk. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him to say something he shouldn't and trap him, entangle him. Well, that's what the devil will do with you. He's setting traps for you. He finds what your weakness is. He finds what your tendencies are. And he tries to set traps for you. Well, this is a trap. The fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Safety. That's a great blessing, isn't it? To be safe, to have safety. Well, put your trust in the Lord and you'll be safe. He tells us to commit our way into the Lord, trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. All these things we read to you, safety, God being a shield, God putting our trust in the Lord and finding that perfect peace, that direction, all those things will come to pass to the child of God who puts their trust in Him. May the Lord help us, no matter what life may throw our direction, put our trust in the Lord and embrace the promises that we have waiting for us. I thank you for your good attention this morning.